Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, after a big weekend, we have now made it to Monday. And today's show, SJS, is being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I want to thank the good people at Purdy Insurance because they have been with us from day number one. To say that I value them with the hope that you value them is very, very important. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. They've been with us since day one. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Where I am right now is all made possible by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. We cannot say enough about them. And Hilscher's General Store. We love adding in new people, and Hilscher's has been a great addition for us. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. That number, by the way, is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Lance Armstrong, barely contrite, was he? I don't even think he was at all. He was cold and a calculating shark on both Thursday and Friday nights. I mean, what's the end game? Why do you come out and do what he's doing? What's the end game? Okay, a guy that's cold and calculating like he's been for years has to have an end game. What is it? Manti Te'o, what's the end game on that? That is as bizarre a story as I've ever heard in my life. And now we have the Super Bowl all set. So we have a lot to analyze today, plus Bill Friedman from The Journey. I'm one of really television's truly outstanding shows, the way it's put together and the stories they tell on BTN. We'll talk to Bill Friedman later in the show. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
The ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn to read and write. The child is black, the child is white.
Hello, welcome. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Bill Friedman from The Journey is going to join us later. Talk about that show. This week's the concentration on point guards, including Penn State's DJ Newbill and Tim Frazier. We'll be talking to Bill, who's a producer of the show, and have him on. Also, I am scheduled between 5 and 7 tonight at some point to talk with Patrick McEnroe to get him on the show, which we would then play back tomorrow. The Super Bowl is set. Yippee, there's a storyline.
Unfortunately, two.
Two?
Well, there's two that are going to be talked about.
Well, what are the two? I really don't care. I just am into the game. You know, and storylines mean jack to
me. You know they're going to talk about the Harbaughs. And then the other storyline, of course, is going to be everything Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah. And they can do that all they want. That's the simplistic way of doing it. I just like talking about games. Storylines mean nothing to me. I mean, I don't sit there and go, here's a storyline. Oh. Have you ever heard Jack and me go, hey, let's talk about the storyline of today's game? You know, we're not sheep here, all right? Like yesterday, for example, one of the biggest plays in that game was glossed over tremendously by TV yesterday. The helmet-to-helmet hit on Ridley yesterday.
Absolutely. Thank you. Like, I'm glad somebody else noticed it besides me.
They didn't talk about it. They didn't mention it was helmet. You could hear it all the way up here. There's a reason, boys. He hit him in the helmet. He knocked him out. It's the kind of hit they're trying to get rid of. They refused to talk about it. They didn't even replay it for 2 minutes.
But they reviewed it to see if it was a fumble.
Oh, yeah. I did that. Well, you can't call a penalty on it. I mean, that's the rule. I understand the rule. All right? You can't go back and look at something later.
I do too, but this proves the point of what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, the lack of consistency in this call. It is a very difficult call for the officials to make because the play happens so fast to tell if it's going to be, if it's helmet to helmet or if the helmet goes on the side or what. Now, that one, to me, I thought it was helmet to helmet from the minute it happened. But I have seen a lot of plays that have looked helmet to helmet that aren't.
Yeah, well, that I understand. That, you know, I understand. But this was obvious. When it happened, it was obvious.
Let's get the legal side of it for Bob Buehner.
I like it.
Hang on. Bob's not quite set here. Hold on. Go ahead and Phil. I'm going to fix Bob's mic.
Go ahead and Phil. We're going to fix Bob's mic. All right. That's fine. Penn State basketball Saturday, one of the golden opportunities you could ask for, slip by the boards. And when it comes to officiating, there are a couple of things I don't like in college basketball. Number one, they need to get rid of the closely guarded five-second rule. It's a junk rule. All right. One of the reasons that the five-second closely guarded rule is a junk rule is that you already have a 35-second shot clock. What do you need a five-second closely guarded for? That rule was needed when there was no shot clock. Now you have a shot clock, just play. And it's one less thing for the officials to look at. The other one's the flagrant one call. I mean, they called the flagrant one on Yubo the other day after the foul was called on Newbill. They went back and looked at it. If it was so bad, why didn't you call it the second it happened? Right, it benefited Penn State, which they did not take advantage of at all. Okay? But it's another flagrant one call. That's got to go, too. There's either a flagrant foul in which you're intentionally trying to hurt somebody or not. Buehner's on the line.
I'm back. I was talking with Kevin before we started the show. And
I'm sorry, Bob.
But we both came to the same conclusion, Steve. Can you call it a Super Bowl if the Steelers aren't playing in it? And that's if there's a storyline in Pennsylvania, that might well be it.
Well, here's the bottom line on that. Here's the difference between the NFL and all the other leagues. The NFL can have the Ravens and the 49ers play, or they can have the Packers play in a Super Bowl, or they can have the Vikings play, they can have the Dolphins play, the Atlanta can play in the Super Bowl. Okay? People still watch.
That's true.
In the NBA, if the Utah Jazz were to play the Atlanta Hawks, what would happen? The NBA needs very much to have the Lakers or the Bulls with Jordan or the Heat with James or the Celtics. Okay, they need to have those kind of teams in the final all the time. San Antonio doesn't do it. But if Atlanta were to play Utah, the ratings would tank. They know it. The NHL really does need to have a team of recognition in there. Whether it's Crosby and the Penguins or the Flyers or Chicago or Detroit, Boston, New York, you know, they need to have that in order to get something. And Major League Baseball's fallen in the same rut. They need the Red Sox or the Yankees in there. They need the Cardinals in there. The Phillies would help if they were in there. The Cubs would help tremendously if they made it. But if other teams make it, you don't have ratings. San Francisco's a marvelous baseball team. But San Francisco playing in the World Series against Detroit draws mediocre ratings. Texas in the World Series draws mediocre ratings. Nothing against really, really good teams, and they're really, really good teams. But their sports, but the NFL, you can throw anybody in there. The Arizona Cardinals could get in and face the Cincinnati Bengals, and people would watch the Super Bowl.
But that's because it's a one-and-done event.
No, it's not. It's because it's football. Okay? It has nothing to do with one and done event. It has to do with football. It's football. That's why. It's not because it's a one and done event. The NCAA basketball tournament's a one and done event.
Well, no, I agree with you. I'm not saying that it's one of the big
football.
Reasons that it's a one and done.
Football. No, it's football. People love the game.
What other professional sport has its championship once and not a best of?
But it's still football.
I understand.
People love football. That's why.
And, you know, the thing about the Super Bowl is it's such an over-encompassing event as well, Steve. Half the population is going to be watching to see if Beyonce has a wardrobe malfunction during the halftime. But there will be people watch. As you're right, it's football. It's the Super Bowl. And I think Kevin's right, too. It's that one and done. It's not the best of seven. You watch the second game, and will you see the third game? It's all of that. It has become the nation's signature sporting event.
I don't agree with Kevin on the one and done thing. I don't at all, because the NFL, the top 20 shows, the top 20 shows last year were NFL games, and most of them are regular season games.
But what about
in prime time? In prime time, those aren't one and done. Play next week. Why are they the top? Because people love football. I'm talking about NCIS. I'm talking about Two and a Half Men. I'm talking about whatever show that you enjoy. Okay. And
I understand what you're saying, but my point is, if you make this, let's say, a best of five, game two doesn't have as much interest as game one would or game five. But I agree with you on the football part.
It's football.
Before football was mainstream and before football was more popular than baseball, the Super Bowl was still big.
Football outdid baseball in the 60s. That's when it started.
Really?
As soon as it became a television. Oh, yes.
Wow. I didn't know.
It was a television event.
I would not have guessed that.
And the World Series was an afternoon event, even in late September, early October. I used to sneak my transistor radio into school to listen to the World Series, but if you wanted to watch it on TV, you pretty well couldn't. But you could, starting in, Super Bowl I, it became a TV event. And was it Pete Rozelle was the commissioner that brought that about, Steve?
Pete Rozelle understood TV. He got it. He understood what you could do with it. Now, he made a mistake when it came to the Kennedy assassination.
Not
they
calling
played.
Off the game?
Yeah, they played. The AFL didn't. But you have to remember, too, see, the AFL survived. And the reason the AFL survived is because it was football. And they brought an exciting brand of football to the table. They got Monday Night Football. The CBS turned down Monday Night Football. Why? Because they had Here's Lucy and Gunsmoke. No, I'm not kidding.
I agree with you.
I'm telling you what the reasons were.
Absolutely.
That was their blockbuster night. Gunsmoke was on the air for 20 years for a reason. It got great ratings. NBC said no to it, and ABC sitting there, they had no programming, nothing. My mother, the car, okay? And they're like, yeah, we'll take it. And Rune's like, we'll put it on.
My mother, the car?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that.
You know, they had, what was it, American, wasn't a Friday, it was a Friday night show. Love American Style?
Whatever. Love American Style, yeah.
Like, that's what they had on. So they were like, we'll take it. And all of a sudden, boom, they jump in there. This is 1970. The ratings for Monday Night Football go through the roof in 1970.
Yes.
You're talking 43 years ago. And Kevin's telling everybody today in our audience is a recent phenomenon.
No, I did not say that. By the way, I did find a theme song for My Mother, the Car.
Aren't we all lucky? You know who the star of My Mother, the Car was?
No.
The car.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Yes.
Jerry
later
Van
went
Dyke.
On, later went on to the coach.
I remember that.
Yep. News is coming up next, and then Bill Friedman from The Journey, and then the theme from My Mother, the Car.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Buhner's in the house today, which is always great news.
Steve, looking forward to the rest of the show. And Kevin spent the break time anxiously working the computers to prove his point, which I think we'll be hearing for the next 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's kind of bothersome, to be honest with you, because he actually needed a bathroom break, and
Yeah, he wouldn't leave the control room.
Right now, the audience is going to suffer.
Hey, can I jump in on a completely different topic for a second?
Please, please.
Bucknell basketball. This is a huge week for the Bison.
Yes, it is.
The Mountain Hawks of Lehigh come to Soica Wednesday night. The game is at 6 p.m., as they've repeatedly told the entire world, not the normal 7 p.m. start, because it'll be on CBS Sports. And still going to be a great storyline. Bucknell 16-3, Lehigh 15-4. Although Lehigh does not bring C.J. McCollum, who was leading the nation in scoring earlier in the season because of an ankle injury. It looks like he's out for the regular season. But this is a doggone good Lehigh team. They've got a guy named McKnight. They have I'm missing the one name. But they've got a cast of supporting characters who have moved up to replace McCollum. Griner is one. And so it's going to be a great game. And Bucknell had a warm-up Saturday night against Lafayette. And Mike Muscala, 27 points, 15 rebounds, and it was an off night.
Right.
So
I read somewhere that Muscala was starting to be get put on NBA draft boards rather high.
He's been on NBA draft boards for a year now.
All right, that's what I was going to ask. Just now, or has that been happening for a while?
No, it's been happening, but what's happening is now he's moving up the draft boards. Yeah, you're thinking about him maybe being a second-round pick. Maybe he's moving himself now into the latter stages of the first round.
Well, I heard
He's not a lottery pick.
No, I think he leads the nation now in double-doubles.
Right.
And he's averaging, I think he's right at the 20 points per game and in double digits for rebounds, and may well graduate being the all-time leading scorer at Bucknell with 2,000 points and 1,000 career rebounds.
Right. I think he's a fabulous player, and what I like is the fact is that late in the game you can put the ball in his hands and he'll hit free throws for
you. He can. He has a high arching shot from the free throw line. And it's a thing of beauty. It draws rain in higher elevations.
He's an 80% shooter from the line.
See, I like the fact that, let's take, for example, Gonzaga Butler. Now, let's talk about what's the big mistake that Stockton's kid made at the end of the game? Okay.
Go ahead.
He goes to throw the ball and he lobs it out to midcourt.
Oh, yes, he lobs it. He
lobs it out to midcourt. That's not the play.
No.
Okay. The play is, regardless, with 3 seconds left, is you throw the ball toward your own basket. Okay? You throw the ball in that way. If you do turn it over, you've now created an extra 25 to 30 feet of real estate for them to negotiate. So that's why you throw it toward your basket. You do not go parallel or back to the other basket. He threw it parallel, lobbed it in, and then cut down the time and gave them a shot there at the end to win it. Because if you go toward your own basket, they're either going to foul you. If you turn it over, you've now created too much space with 3 seconds to go. It was an incredibly poor play mentally and also just a fundamental basketball mistake. You do not throw the ball to the backcourt. And you do not throw the ball parallel. You throw the ball toward your basket.
And, you know, Mark Few, the coach at Gonzaga, is one of those guys that's really coaches the fundamentals so well and has for so many years. Boy, you would just think that's a given, as you outlined it, Steve.
Well, but Bob, it's not a given, okay? I threw the question out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of you answered the question.
Well, I was trying to recall which one it was.
I'm saying, you guys know basketball. A lot of people don't think of that, okay? They don't think about, okay, well, there's 3 seconds left. Okay, I just want to get the ball in. No, it's not just getting the ball in. You get it in going toward your basket. Yeah. You now create more real estate for them to negotiate. And if the ball's knocked out of bounds, okay, it still takes time off the clock once the ball is hit. You throw it toward your basket. It's a lot of little things that a lot of people don't think about. And what's happened is that we've had so many analysts just tell you the obvious, and we just went through 8 hours of that yesterday, that nobody tells you what's really, what's going on in the game and anticipates what's going on. And we're not getting that right now. We're not getting that kind of thought put in. I mean, I'll be honest. I'll get frustrated watching games. I don't want to listen to this anymore.
Well,
I don't.
One of the things I can tell you that Bucknell does when they take the ball out at the midcourt, always, always throw it deep into their own end and then bring it up in the normal fashion,
yeah.
Unless there's just a couple seconds on the shot clock.
Sure.
They
right.
always do that. That's a right. Dave Paulson kind of a coaching thing.
That's a safe play.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with safe. A lot of people will run stuff. Tom Izzo's really good at running stuff. Tommy has a very thick playbook in terms of out-of-bounds plays that he likes to go to. That's why they're a very tough team to scout.
Because you don't know what's going to happen next. With
exactly. And then, but there's nothing wrong with it. Let's just get the ball in and we'll run a set.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that.
And, you know, a team like Bucknell with the talent they have, just not Mike Muscala, but they have such versatility with Cameron Ayers, Bryson Johnson, who for the first time in 28 games did not have a three-pointer Saturday night.
You know what, though? The guy I really like is Joe Willman. Very under the radar, selfless.
Yes.
Makes plays, makes them better.
Big
Joe Willman's a very special under the radar guy that coaches appreciate.
Well, the thing about Joe was before the start of the game, they gave him the ball celebrating the fact that he has 1,000 points in his career.
Right.
And you know, this could be a Bucknell team this year that can put on the floor at one time 4 1,000-point scorers. Because Cameron Ayers is only like 100 and some points away.
Yeah, Cameron Ayers is a really good player. Helps them out a lot. Now, Kevin's still doing research here.
Yeah, I think he's...
I got it.
We'll
get to that in a moment. First of all, I'd like to bring in Bill Friedman, who knows his hoops. He is the producer of The Journey on the Big Ten Network this week, featuring point guards Aaron Kraft, Ohio State, DJ Newbill, Tim Frazier, Penn State, Andre Hollins, Minnesota, and Trey Burke, who's a National Player of the Year candidate from Michigan. Bill, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show with us.
Steve, always good to chat with you.
All right. We've just gone through, I think, what turned out to be an exciting series of football journeys, including Penn State Senior Day, Michael Mauty. Now we transition into basketball, which has become a staple on the Big Ten Network. The ability to tell the story. Have you changed and made tweaks along the way, or is there a standard way that is very acceptable to the viewer?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we don't have a set way of telling a story. We want to tell the best story. Some stories need to be told one way. Some stories need to be told a different way. So when you say, are we making tweaks to it, that's probably accurate. We're always trying to put forth the best story for the viewer to watch.
Sports information directors, how important are they for you to then find the story and then focus on it?
They're kind of the unsung heroes of both the football and basketball journey shows. You know, there are people that I value my relationships with them as incredibly important. And they obviously, once you can teach them kind of what we want to do on our show, they get it, they are immensely valuable. And they'll reach out to us all the time with ideas of, hey, maybe you should do this, that. And then when we're on campus, they just kind of understand this is what we're trying to do. And, you know, I have to say that the group at Penn State, you know, just wonderful people. Stretch and Jeff Nelson are fantastic.
Obviously, Michael Mauty became an intriguing football journey subject. Tim Frazier's a different kind of subject. What is your approach with him?
Well, I tell you, Steve, it'd be nice to come out there and not have to do a story about an injury. That's twice this year we've had to do it, you know, with Mauty and then with Tim Frazier. I mean, the story we wanted to do is it's part of a show. This week's show, Steve, is something we're trying a little different. We focus only on point guards. We're calling it our point guard show. And it's about, you know, for the four different kind of point guard situations in the Big Ten Conference. And we were attracted to the Penn State story because, you know, here's a guy in Frazier who was going to be their leader, was going to be one of the best point guards. Believe he was all Big Ten preseason, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was.
At that position.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, then he goes down six games in, I believe, and you know, now they have to put DJ Newbill, for whom they had very high hopes at the two, you know, has to shift over to the one and kind of learn on the job. And here's the guy, Tim Frazier, who in the midst of rehabbing his own injury has really accepted a kind of a player-coach role is probably the best way to put it. And, you know, he saw it the other night against Michigan State. He was on the sideline, you know, just all over the place trying to help his team and especially DJ understand the position.
When you sit there and tell the story, how much of this is driven by what you see visually on the court, and how much is this driven by the subject themselves in interviews?
We want it to be a combination of both, Steve. You know, we want our show to feel and look very cinematic, and that's not a coincidence. That's by design. We want it to feel big. We want it to feel like you're watching a two-minute movie on these guys, and we use the best cameras we can and the best producers and the best cameramen that we have to make the visuals very compelling. That being said, no matter how pretty the pictures are, if there's not some substance to the story, it's just pretty pictures. And so the combination I think we strive for is to have incredible visuals that match the story that's being told, and to have that story have some weight to it, some gravitas that will resonate with the viewer.
The cooperation you get, I recall, for example, David Leidy's senior day. It started at his home, and then you took us to the arena with the other seniors. The cooperation you get from all involved, give me how critical is that to giving you multiple options to tell the story?
It's critical, and to be honest, I think that's maybe with the producers, when we talk about it, it's our favorite part. We love getting to know the student athletes. We love getting to know the coaches. We love getting to know the SIDs, the coaching staffs, the assistants, the strength guys, et cetera. When we're fortunate enough, the families. It was funny, the other week I had the rare chance to get up to Evanston to just watch a game as a fan, and it was the Michigan game, Northwestern Michigan, and Juice Thompson was there, you know, a guy we had profiled on two or three seasons of the show, and he recognized me, and I went over to his mom was there, and I had done a shoot with them, and they were so happy, you know, it was just real fun. They were like your friends, and that's, you know, there are not a lot of lines of work, I think, where that actually happens, and so we're blessed in that, but it is absolutely critical. And, you know, we, as I said earlier, you know, we value the relationships. And with basketball, you know, being in its fourth season now, we've been able to, and with a lot of the stability both internally and with the coaches, you know, we've been able to build really good relationships. And I think without those, I'm not sure the show would reach the level that it has.
In the initial season, it was Illinois football and Minnesota basketball. Then I think once all the other schools got a handle on the kind of story you could tell, everybody wanted in. You balance it with three stories in order to keep the importance of making sure that the three stories are balanced completely so that the three schools walk away feeling they got their equal share. How important is that?
Right. I mean, one of the things, there are very few mandates with this show, Steve. You know, the mandate I get from my bosses is make it entertaining. And there's one other little side note to that, and that is make sure you visit every school once. You know, and so that's part of it. We want it to be inclusive. How can you tell a documentary of a conference basketball season and not visit a school? Like, you have to do it. And so that's really important to us. Then after that, it's kind of where the best story takes us. And the best story, it doesn't always mean you go to the team that's winning games. You know, we've done some great stories on teams that have not had great records, and and we will continue to do that. We want to do what the best story is.
When you're talking about a network, the Big Ten Network, the fact that it's concentrated at the moment on a dozen schools, and then of course down the road it'll be 14, and we'll see after that. The fact that it is confined to that, has that made your job in balancing the show far easier?
I don't know if it'd make it easier. I mean, it's funny. You keep asking me about balancing, and I don't really look at it that way. I look at it as, let's make sure we tell a story from every school, which is usually never an issue, and then let's tell the better ones. And if it means that one school one year has five stories, you know, the way I look at it is maybe next year they'll have two.
Right.
You know, and you know, because I don't look at it as just a one season thing. I look at it as over time, and we do that with our story selection. You know, we'll finish at the end of the year, and we'll be like, you know what? There are two or three stories we probably should have done this year we didn't get to, but guess what? He's a sophomore. He's going to come back next year. We'll do it next year, and that's always reassuring that you can kind of save some of these storylines with some of the underclassmen to do in the years to come.
Big Ten promotes leaders and legends. And, you know, that's, you know, it, of course, it's tied into the divisions, but still, that is the theme, whether it's a basketball game, football game, whatever it happens to be. The stories that you've been able to tell, does that really fit into both those categories based on the people you've been able to meet?
Probably. I mean, I tell people when I get asked about this show is that we're just blessed that there's a enormous amount of really quality people involved in Big Ten football and Big Ten basketball. And you know that, Steve, from your travels. And when I say quality people, it can mean student athletes, it can mean coaches, it can mean SIDs, support staff, radio announcers. You know, like, I mean, there's just, we've been blessed that, like, we just haven't found a lot of bad apples. And not that we're looking for them, but we just don't run into them. And we're blessed in that. So I think that kind of speaks to what you were suggesting.
Bill, it's always an absolute pleasure. The show is, I mean, you want to talk about a show that is a winner every time out. It's this show. I think everybody within the Big Ten footprint is glued to it. And I think outside of the footprint, I think there are people who are envious that you do it. So thanks so much for the time you gave us. We look forward to having you back on again to talk about the journey, even if it has nothing to do with Penn State, just to talk about the journey because it's that good.
We're always happy to talk about it, Steve. It's a show that we love doing for our audience, and we're happy that we get the chance to do it.
Bill Friedman with us from The Journey from the Big Ten Network. Kevin pontificates in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off.
Plus 0% financing for 60 months.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at sunburymotors.com. Or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Everybody knows in the second life we all come back sooner or later. As anything from a pussy.
There you go, my mother, the car.
You are one sad individual. All right. Very pleased to be joined by the head basketball coach at Bucknell, Dave Paulson, because Dave's basketball team is going to be back in action Wednesday night with Lehigh at Soica. Dave, welcome. Thanks for being with us again.
Oh, glad to be on, Steve.
Let's talk about your defense the other night against Lafayette. What are you seeing in terms of how you're handling the fundamentals of footwork and also the rotations on the floor that's giving you a strong defensive effort?
Well, we did a really good job against Lafayette on Saturday. They came in the game averaging about 8.5 made threes per game, and they made one against us. I thought our guys really, really got up and contested them, and for the most part, you know, executed our defensive game plan. So that was a terrific effort. We were playing very well defensively going into league play, and you know, stepped it up a notch. Now we're gonna be challenged as much, if not more, than we've ever been challenged, you know, on Wednesday night. So we're going to have to really be locked in on the defensive end.
You obviously have already taken a pretty good look at Lehigh because of, you know, let's face it, it's a big game. It's 6 o'clock, by the way. It's 6 o'clock on Wednesday night at Soica. Where have they made the adjustment here and there with McCollum not on the floor?
Well, you know, I think, you know, they had, I thought, going before CJ got hurt, 4 all-league players. And they still have 3 all-league players. Their point guard, Mackie McKnight, really makes them go. He was kind of the key to their late-season emergence last year as a dynamic point guard. And Holden Griner is a face-up four-man who's averaging about 18 a game in league play now. So he's really stepped it up in McCollum's absence. They got a great five-man in Knutson. And some of the other guys who, you know, are talented players that didn't get a chance to play that much are playing well. They don't play quite the same tempo that they did, but they're a really dangerous offensive team and really playing well defensively.
Sometimes a guy gets to the latter stages of his career, like a Mike Muscala. Every once in a while, they hit a little rut here and there. Why is he playing better and better, it seems, every week?
Well, you know, I don't know. And I'll tell you, you know, people think I'm crazy. I don't think he played very well on Saturday night. He had 27 points and 15 rebounds. I thought that was as poorly as he played it. He missed some shots he normally makes. He might have been able to score 40 on that night. But I guess we'll take a bad night at the office with 27 to 15 with him. You know, he's just really focused. He's really driven. And he just competes and he's working so hard. And hopefully he continues and elevates his game even more here in the last 2 months of the season.
How much are you helped in late game situations by the fact that you have a veteran team that has a lot of poise, but also that you have a number of good free throw shooters, including your big man?
It really helps. Now, again, on Saturday, Mike uncharacteristically was 5 for 10 from the line, but, you know, on the year, he's 80-some percent from the line. But that's a big thing that we'll put 4 80-plus percent free throw shooters out there down the stretch, and that makes it really real positive for us.
Soica, you haven't lost there yet in this particular season. What makes it a good home court that your players seem to feed off of?
Well, one, it's just a beautiful facility to play in. You know, great. Just it's a good shooter's gym, you know, unlike some places where people play in an arena and they don't get to practice there. You know, we practice there every day. So that's a real nice thing. And then the second thing, just the support we have, the attendance across the board has been phenomenal.
Dave, the music tells us that we're done. But I thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Dave Paulson with us. We will come back. Kevin has just been aching to speak. We will give him the floor, and we'll give him as much time as President Obama's inauguration speech.